This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a terrific day. We have Rangers pregame coming up now in less than 20 minutes, and Eric Nadell, the Hall of Fame voice of your Rangers, is set to join us now to talk some baseball. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by soda as well. That is state of the art. And the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to truckwreck.com. Today's Rangers broadcast presented by the Texas Lottery. The Texas Lottery proudly supports Texas education and veterans. Look for teacher ticket specials at rangers.com, brought to you by the Texas Lottery. And good evening, Eric. How the heck are you?
He's in the building!
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing outstanding. What a great time to be a sports fan. Love to get your thoughts on the news of the day. Leiter optioned Owen White up. What'd you make of Leiter's debut yesterday?
I thought he threw the ball really well. You know, obviously, if Leody makes that catch that he should have made, Leiter gets to stick around longer. He probably even picks up a win in the game. And my guess is they're going to send him down anyway, as they need a fresh arm in the bullpen. But at least he would have been leaving with a victory under his belt and probably four runs allowed rather than seven runs allowed. But I thought he definitely showed the kind of stuff that has everybody excited about him. And, you know, it was a good first step.
Did Leody make up later on in that game for that ball over his head? And how much of a concern is that hole in his defensive repertoire?
You know, I don't think it's that much of a concern. I actually think he's played really well defensively this year. He does have trouble sometimes on balls over his head. He's not the only one. But I think for the most part, his defense has been stellar this year. And, you know, I'll forgive him that one.
Is Owen White a guy now coming up that we should have an eye on, looking to do something, or is he just taking his turn trying to help the big league team here?
I think at this point he's just taking his turn, and if the Rangers, you know, need some innings pitched, he's going to give it to them. You know, he hasn't been outstanding at AAA this year, and I think it was really just a matter of right now he's the fresh arm. He's a guy who can give them length if they need it. You know, Andrew Heaney has been erratic this year, to say the least. And, you know, if this is another short start for Heaney, they might need the innings that Owen can provide. And I think that's more than anything the reason they made the move right now. He's on the roster. He's stretched out. So he's the guy who gets the call. I don't know that he's necessarily ready for a full audition yet in the big leagues.
Hey, Eric, you know, before the season, a lot of us in the media were talking about Wyatt Langford as the next Mickey Mantle kind of type player here. And I was just curious. I know the batting average is not terrible or anything like that, but just your assessment of watching him every day that you have and where he is as far as his progression to the start of the season.
Yeah, he's getting pitched really tough, you know, and, you know, he tore up spring training, but, you know, a lot of times in spring training, the pitchers aren't really trying to get you out the way they do in the regular season. They're just working on specific things. And once the season starts, you know, they're trying to get you out. And there's a book on Langford, and he's seeing pitches now, and he's seeing tunneling, if you will, and pitch sequencing that he's never seen before. So I'm really not surprised that, you know, he hasn't torn the league apart the way that he did in spring training and the way that a lot of people expected him to. You know, remember that when Mike Trout first came to the big leagues, you know, he struggled the first 2 months. Mm-hmm. And his batting average was down around 200. There wasn't much power. And, you know, people were asking similar questions. But I think that Wyatt, for the most part, has had good at-bats. You know, he's looked good up there. He's competitive up there. And he seems to have remained in a good mental state, despite probably having more failure, if you will, than at any time in his life. Same thing goes for Evan Carter right now.
Sure. Yeah.
So you think about 2 months in or something, that'd be a window where it could start to shift for him?
I would think so. Yeah. And, you know, the Rangers, to their credit, keep running him out there. keep giving him the opportunities. You know, there's a lot of faith in this guy, and I think he'll be okay. To me, he never looks overmatched at the plate.
Eric Nadeau with us here on The Fan. How much faith do you have in a guy like Kirby Yates to continue the dominance there as the closer? I mean, back-to-back four-out performances there, getting the win and the save in back-to-back days. Is this, do you feel like this might be the Will Smith of last year where at some point this kind of fizzles out, or could Kirby Yates be the guy?
I don't think there's any reason to expect it to fizzle out considering the stuff that he has. You know, with that split finger pitch, which is now really just nasty, I think he's your closer. He's done it before. I think the Rangers are going to be very careful in how they use him to make sure they don't burn him out, which, you know, probably happened last year with Will Smith. And he's got better stuff than Will Smith does. And, you know, he's done the closing thing before. And, you know, I'm just delighted that he and David Robertson have been able to pitch the way that they have. And, you know, when Kirby needs a night off, Robertson or Jose Leclerc, you know, we'll get that opportunity. I imagine that would be the case tonight. And I think Kirby is the guy. And I think his signing in the offseason, which was kind of under the radar, is going to rank as one of the best in all of Major League Baseball by the time this season's over.
Eric, where would you rank the Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Atlanta Braves uniforms? All the red, white, and blue. All, they're not your favorite?
Not my favorites. No.
I would have thought. Like I do. I think you're always – I should have known. You're the traditionalist, though, like the Cardinals and those kind. I kind of thought the old Biff Poparoga jerseys and stuff were pretty good for that time.
It's funny. I never liked them that much. And I am a traditionalist, but I always loved the Oakland A's jerseys.
Sure.
Even when they were wearing yellow jerseys, right, and people were making fun of them. The things that I always objected to were the colored pants.
Yes.
That was something that I couldn't stand. I never was able to do that. You know, the Pirates, when they wore those all mustard uniforms.
Sure.
The jerseys were fine with me. The yellow jerseys were fine. The yellow pants, not so much.
So when the White Sox threw down, like, then they had those softball uniforms with the black pants, you were totally out on that then, right?
Terrible, terrible. Yeah. And, you know, when I started, too, they were wearing those jerseys that had, they actually had collars.
Collars on them, yeah. Wilbur Wood out there pitching him up, yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Now, Eric, shortly before you made that debut, you were a hockey announcer, and
yeah.
I know we've talked to you over the years. It's a very exciting time here with the Stars opening up Monday against the Golden Knights. What do you think they might do here?
I'm so excited about the Stars. I've had so much fun watching them. I've been to several games this year. I love their team. I love the depth that they have. You know, they have so many dangerous forwards. They're so fast. They don't hit a lot of people, but they're really fun to watch. And now that Jake Oettinger is hot again, he's entering the playoffs, you know, on a hot streak. I think they're as well positioned as anybody to go all the way. I am really psyched for their playoff run.
So this team's better than, like, the bubble team or last year's team significantly, you think? Or how would you?
I think so. I really do. I think they have much more depth, you know, with the young guys they've developed this year, you know, Wyatt Johnston, the way that Thomas Harley has come on this year. To me, they just have more outstanding players than they've ever had.
This baseball team, the Rangers are taking on, speaking of outstanding players, how tough is this tonight for Heaney facing this lineup?
Really hard. I mean, this is a ridiculously deep lineup. And the way they've put up runs the last couple of seasons is otherworldly. This is really going to be a challenge for the three Rangers starting pitchers, you know, for Heaney and Eovaldi and Lorenz in the next 3 days. It's going to be a really good test.
I guess the good news is the bats are starting to heat up a little bit. I wanted to ask you, with so many different lineup combinations, is that something that the modern player just kind of has to get used to? Is there a drain? Is there a downside to, you know, trying to work the matchups that extensively as they have been?
I don't know that there is. I don't know that there should be. You know, most teams do it now. You don't see very many set lineups. And even if you do, there's usually a couple of changes, you know, based on platoon advantages. So I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing, particularly if there's good communication. And that's the one thing you can be sure of, you know, when Bruce Bochy's involved, that the players are going to understand what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Hey, Eric, I'm probably going to get a quick no on this one, but going back to old Braves stuff, did you ever meet Ted Turner?
I did meet Ted Turner.
Did you find him fascinating at all? Was he an interesting guy?
I loved talking to Ted Turner. When I started out, the Braves were training in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
And we were training in Pompano Beach. They were only about 45 minutes apart. And we would play the Braves, you know, a few times each spring. Mm-hmm. And when you went up to West Palm Beach, if you went into the press dining room before the game, Ted was usually in there.
Yeah.
And he was holding court.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved talking to him. I loved listening to him. I don't know that he was the greatest owner.
Yeah.
But he was certainly fun. And he was opinionated, and he didn't care what anybody thought of his opinions. And I always really appreciated that.
Eric, before we let you go, it is a Friday. It is a tradition. And, you know, the Tolos would like to know. It doesn't necessarily have to be boozy, but what you drinking, what you thinking, buddy?
What I am thinking is, you know, I'm off this week. Yep. I have this new 100-game plan this year. People will get used to my being gone a lot. And so I'm actually in Dallas this week. And this weekend, there are a couple of my favorite local musicians who are doing shows tonight in Flower Mound, where they have this tremendous concert series called the Lakeside Concert Series. It's free. It's outdoors. And Ginny Mack, who's one of my favorite local singers, she also plays the accordion, plays as a duo. Sometimes she sings with Asleep at the Wheel. She has a fantastic voice. She's playing the Flower Mound Lakeside Concert Series tonight. It's from 7:30 to 9:30. I urge people to go out there and check her out. And then Sunday night in Louisville at the Louisville Grand Theater, which is a wonderful place to see a show, Angel White is performing. And Angel is a true rising star in the Texas country world. He's a local kid. I think he might even be from Louisville. But he's performing at the Louisville Grand Theater. Tickets are just $20. I know there are still some tickets available. And the show is early. It's a 6:30 show on Sunday, and I urge people to check that out, too.
Thank you, sir.
As for what I'm drinking, I'm going heavy on Topo Chico's these days.
There you go.
I love it. Live it up. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you up with you next Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Eric Nadel, the broadcast presented by the Texas Lottery. The Texas Lottery proudly supports Texas education and veterans. Look for teacher ticket specials at Rangers.com, brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Rangers baseball is next. Thanks to Lucius, and thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video, Chia Follow, and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until Monday at 2, have a great weekend. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.